Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. If you've never attended in person, we'd love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 or 11:05 at 3105 Hampton Highway in Yorktown, Virginia. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Hey, good morning to you. Oh, yay. Awesome. My name is Rob. I'm one of the pastors here. And if it's your first time with us, I want to say welcome to you. And I'm very excited about that greeting that you gave back, because we've gone about 3 weeks in a row where I gave a greeting to you and it was silent coming back. So I figure this must be a new thing to America to actually greet one another. So I challenge you guys to throw the greeting back, and you guys did fantastic, above and beyond. Thank you guys so much. Also, if you're new, if this is your first time, want to let you know something that we do along with the sermon, with the talk. We do something that's called YouVersion. It is a free app, and the steps to download it are on the screen. And the app has all the verses that we're going to cover today, as well as a question of the week for you to answer, some links to our website. It is a great resource to help the talk go to the next level for you. So if this is your first time with us, go ahead and download that. It is absolutely free if you want to follow along. If you're a regular attender, this is your time to pull out the tablet or smartphone. To kick things off today, I want to ask you guys a question, because I want to know who I'm talking to today. How many of you have ever seen the 1960s TV show Batman? Let me see your hands. Woo, all right. Awesome. A lot of you. Man, I'm very impressed by that. If you have not seen the 1960s Batman, then you need to know it is very different than Batman of today. Batman of today is very dark and brooding. He talks like he has throat cancer. Batman of the 1960s, he was campy, he was fun. When he hit somebody, the screen would light up with bam, pow, biff. It was a lot of campy fun, bright colors, supposed to be humorous. And one of the taglines that was a part of this show, if you've ever seen the TV show, one of the taglines was, when Robin, the boy wonder, would see something, he would insert the word holy before whatever he was looking at. And there is actually a website today that is dedicated to all of the holy sayings that Robin has said. And you can press a button, and there are hundreds of them. And in case you have not experienced this TV show, I wanted to kind of catch you up to speed and let you hear some of these really cheesy and somewhat funny Robin quotes from the TV show. I want to show you just a few of those. The first one is this.
Holy anagrams, what's the answer?
Holy anagram, what's the answer? I don't even know what an anagram is. I just thought that was I thought that was pretty funny. This one, you're going to have to listen closely. This one's a little bit harder to hear, but it is ridiculous. Check this out.
Holy bikini.
He said, in case you had a hard time hearing it, holy bikini. Now, I don't know what prompted Robin to say that to Batman, but I thought it was kind of funny for the boy wonder to say holy bikini. This one is just ridiculous. Check this out.
Holy unrefillable prescriptions.
In case you have a hard time keeping up, he said holy unrefillable prescriptions. No idea what that had to do with that episode. This, though, is probably because I'm a pastor. This, though, was my favorite of the Robin sayings.
Holy hallelujah.
Holy hallelujah. I have no idea what was going on in the show, but it cracked me up. And that little saying is the inspiration for the title of our new series. The title of our new series is Holy Spirit Batman. I was hoping to find Robin where he actually said Holy Spirit Batman, but he didn't actually say it on the show. But it is the inspiration for the title of this series. Now, if you're a huge Batman fan, the bad news is this series has very little to do with Batman and has a lot to do with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an incredible part and of a Christian's life. At least he should be. The Holy Spirit is a part of what we call the Trinity. The Trinity is how Christians explain the three separate but equal parts of God. You have God the Father, you have God the Son, who's Jesus, and you have God the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're new to the church, this whole stuff might be new to you. You might be a little wigged out. You might be, you know, have a huge learning curve for you. But if you've grown up in the church, there's no doubt that you are pretty familiar with God the Father. That's one that we talk about a lot. That's one that we read about. There's lots of books written about God the Father. There's lots of songs sung to God the Father. And if you've grown up in the church, there's no doubt that you know a lot about Jesus. We celebrate Easter and Christmas about Jesus. We sing lots of songs to Jesus. There's lots of books written about Jesus. But in many modern churches today, the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is kind of like the redheaded stepchild of the Trinity. He is the one that we don't really talk about all that often, and he's one that a lot of us are a little like leery of. We're a little unsure of him. If you grew up in a more traditional church setting, maybe Presbyterian or Methodist or Baptist or Catholic, then you may not have grown up learning and hearing a lot about the Holy Spirit. So maybe you knew he was existing, maybe you knew he was kind of out there, but it wasn't something that you really understood. In this series, we're going to try to, the best that we can, unveil and unwrap who this third person of the Trinity is. What you need to know today is that the Holy Spirit is the part of the Trinity that gives Christians power. We have power to live for God through the Holy Spirit. So today, if you're here and you are struggling with fear, if fear is not just something that's like kind of a thought in your mind, if you are overwhelmed with fear, it is a sign that there's a limit of the power of Holy Spirit in your life. Today, if you are struggling with negativity and are incredibly negative, not just a little negative, not just you see the world as a glass is half empty, I'm talking about really negative. It is a sign of a lack of the power of the Holy Spirit. If there is a temptation that is overcoming you over and over again, it is a sign of a lack of the power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't feel bold and confident in your faith in Jesus, if you get really nervous to talk about your faith in Jesus, it is a sign of the lack of the power of the Holy Spirit. So today what I want to do is I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and show you through the Bible how the Holy Spirit has come to give us power. He is the power source to our Christian faith. And you can believe in God, you can go to church, you can have been brought up in church your whole life and still not be experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to give a little bit of context for our text for the day. It's coming from the New Testament of the Bible. And if you're new to this church scene, let me explain something to you. The Bible is broken down into two big sections. There's the Old Testament, which is creation all the way through 400 years before Jesus. It ends, the Old Testament ends 400 years before Jesus. Then you have the New Testament. It starts off with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It starts off with Jesus' birth. It goes through his death, his resurrection. And then it starts with the early church. Where we're going to read is the book of Acts. The book of Acts is an incredible book. It is one of my favorite books in the entire Bible, and Acts is actually a sequel to the Gospel of Luke. So if you've ever read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, they're the four books that tell us about Jesus' life, and Luke's first book was called Luke, and he wrote about Jesus' life. He follows it up with a sequel called Acts. And if you've ever wanted to know the history of the church, how this thing called Christianity really took off the ground, it is found in the book of Acts. It's where we get introduced to Paul, who is a major player in the New Testament today. And so Acts is an incredible book, and Acts picks up where Luke left off. Let me catch up to speed where Luke left off. Jesus has died. He rose again from the grave 3 days later, and he is hanging out with his disciples. And that's where Acts chapter 1, verse 3 picks up. It says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them. Who is he? Jesus. After Jesus' suffering, Jesus presented himself to them. Who is the them? The them is his disciples, his closest followers, those that had left everything to follow him. It says, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So let me catch you up to speed, help you figure out what's going on here. Jesus has come back from the dead. This is an exciting thing. This is an incredible thing. This is like a oh snap moment. The disciples are hanging out with a guy that was previously dead, but he rose again. Now, the text tells us that he gave them many convincing proofs. This is important because the Roman government was going around telling people that Jesus didn't raise from the dead, but that his disciples kidnapped the body and that Jesus was not alive. But Luke is saying, no, he was alive. He proved it to us. That means that Jesus wasn't a ghost. He wasn't a figment of their imagination. He wasn't just, you know, some phantom thing. He was a real live person who has come back from the grave. And one of the proofs that he gave to the disciples is he actually ate with them. Can you imagine eating with Jesus? Can you imagine eating, having a meal with Jesus? It would be incredible to eat with Jesus while he was here, but it would be even that much more incredible to eat with Jesus after the dude died and then rose again. And they're sitting there and like their minds are just blown and they're like, we don't even know how to fathom this. And we're eating with you. This is great. Jesus, can you pass the gravy? Like, this is amazing. They're having this interaction in this meal, and over the meal, Jesus tells them. He tells them, hey, I got to tell you about This thing, it's coming. This thing I've promised you. In fact, let's look at the text again. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is saying, hey guys, I don't know if you remember this. I know I taught you a lot of stuff. I know that we've communicated a lot of things. I know you saw me do a lot of miracles. But do you remember when I talked to you about the Spirit of God? It's coming. It's the gift that my Father has promised. It is coming. And then he rewinds a little bit, and he starts talking about John. Now, John is an important character in the life of Jesus. In fact, we reference John by something that he did. If you grew up in church or if you're familiar with it, maybe you read the stories before, we call John the what? John the Baptist. And that's not because he was a Baptist like we know Baptists. It was because he actually baptized people. But John played a huge part in this new movement of following Jesus. John, though, was actually a lot more similar to the prophets of the Old Testament. John was saying, hey, I want you to repent because a Messiah is coming. I want you to ask God to forgive you of your sins and believe that a Messiah is coming. And then he baptized those that believe. But John never experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is saying, hey, as awesome as John was, as great as John was, some of you guys used to follow John. You know John. You ate with John. You know what a great ministry he had. John came and he baptized with water, and it was an awesome movement. But I'm about to do something that John would be envious of. I'm about to give you a gift that is even more awesome than what John brought to the table. Okay, I can tell I'm doing an awful job communicating how awesome this is. Because none of you, like, moved to the edge of your seat. None of your jaws dropped. None of you wrote down anything. You just acted like this is, like, just ho-hum. So let me try to re-communicate this in a way that helps you see the significance of this. We have hundreds of years of men and women pointing the way to God, but never experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We have an amazing man named John, who Jesus said there wasn't a, he's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Like, Jesus is saying, this guy is incredible, and John came and baptized with water, but I'm about to give you something that John would be envious of. I'm about to give you something that John never experienced. I'm about to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. I love what scholar Wayne Grudem says about this. He says, this was the transition between the old covenant work and ministry of the Holy Spirit and the new covenant work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let me break down what he's saying. He's saying that the Holy Spirit has always existed. The Holy Spirit has always been around. The Holy Spirit wasn't a new idea. It wasn't a new portion of God, a new manifestation of God. The Holy Spirit has been around since the very beginning. In fact, if you're new to this whole church scene, if you're new to this whole God thing, maybe you haven't read the entire Bible. I want to show you how our Bible starts. The very first lines in our Bible, it comes from Genesis, which means the beginning. Genesis 1, in the very first verse, he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And what's the underlying words? The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit has been around since God's been around, since the beginning, since before the beginning. The Holy Spirit is not separate from God. He's not a new part of God. There was a heresy that went on for years that said that God came in three different parts. There was God the Father, and then he transitioned to God the Son, and God the Father no longer existed, and then God the Son transitioned, and then we had God the Holy Spirit, and that was considered a heresy. And they said, no, that can't be. We've learned throughout the Bible that there is only one God. And one God has now come in three separate persons. And if you're scratching your head and saying that doesn't make sense, that's God math. If you think human math is confusing, just wait till you start reading about and trying to learn God math. It makes absolutely no sense. This is what God math would say to us. God math would say, you have God. There is only one God. There's not three separate gods. There's not a bunch of gods. There's not different forms of God. There is one God. God the Father. But then there's also Jesus. Jesus is equal to God. Jesus is also God. So you have one plus one. And now Jesus is saying, I'm about to give you the Holy Spirit. That's another one. In human math, one plus one plus one equals what?
Three.
You guys are on it. Love that. But in God math, God is one plus Jesus is one plus Holy Spirit is one. It equals one. It makes absolutely no sense. How can we only have one God, and yet it's clear that there's three separate persons. That is God math. And the only thing in our entire culture that is even remotely close to this is how God views marriage. God views marriage, and he throws God math on it. God says that when a man and a woman become married, they become one. Two become one. It is God math. Now, if you are married, or if you've ever been married, you know that when you become one, that doesn't mean that you're always in the exact same room with your spouse. It doesn't mean that you can read your spouse's mind. Can I get an amen, husbands? Just a joke. Just keeping it light. But you, the way that God views you, the way that God views a husband and a wife is that you are no longer two separate beings. Even though you go separate places, even though you think different thoughts, you are now in the view of God, one. And this is why divorce is such a big deal to God. Divorce is not a big deal because he's trying to kill our fun. It's not a big deal because he wants to be mad at us or he's just giving us these unreasonable rules. Divorce is a big deal because when you become one, you can't undo oneness. And this is why in every marriage, even marriages where things go bad quickly and they are awful marriages and bad relationships, when the divorce happens, when the two are separated, there's some pain, there's some hurt because one is being separated. Now, I want you to hear this because I know there's a handful of us who have been divorced, and I want you to know God loves you. God has a plan for you. He's not judging you. He's not out to squish your fun. You can have forgiveness and grace. You can move on in the name of God. But I am telling you this to hopefully raise the awareness for those of you that are single. Because if you're single here today, it is incredibly important that you pick a spouse that you think you can be with for the rest of your life. Why? Because when you are one, you can't undo oneness. And so when you're looking for a spouse, you need to take your time. Do not pick a spouse just because they look good. Don't pick a spouse just because they have a little bit of money or because they make you feel good about yourself. Don't pick a spouse because you're lonely. Don't pick a spouse because you need a date somewhere. You need to be thinking, this is forever. This is God math. The way that God is going to see me and this person from now on is 1 + 1 = 1. Two have become one. And so God can forgive us when we unrip oneness and God gives us his grace, but this is a calling to why God views marriage so importantly. It's because you are now viewed in the way that the Trinity is viewed as far as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, 3 = 1. That is the same thing. That is the same thing with marriage. And this idea of three separate beings being one was a huge thing in the world. In fact, this wrestling of what is the Trinity and how do we understand it was such a big deal that people actually lost their life over understanding and talking about the Trinity. So multiple guys got together and multiple church leaders got together to kind of form our understanding of the Trinity. And the Westminster Confession of Faith came out in 1647. It says this, "In the unity of the Godhead, there be three persons of one substance, power, and eternity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit." So translation, God has always existed as one God in three separate persons. God the Father, God the Son, Holy Spirit. When Jesus was here, God didn't go on vacation and stop existing. Now that we have the Holy Spirit, it's not like Jesus doesn't exist and God doesn't exist. All three of them exist as one being that acts totally separate, as three separate persons in one being. All three are God, yet we only have one God. Is everyone confused? Great, that's God math. God the Holy Spirit has always existed. So the reason this verse, when Jesus said, "I'm about to give you a gift," the reason this is significant for us is not because he was introducing something that had never been on the earth before. It's because he was unleashing the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been here since day one. But there are people who longed for something that you and I have. People of the Old Testament, people before Jesus came around, they looked and said, "Hey, I wish we could experience what they get to experience in 2014. And this is incredibly significant. I don't know if you've ever read through the Bible, but especially the Old Testament parts of the Bible. And I read these stories, these amazing stories of guys like Moses. Moses was an incredible guy. Moses saw the Red Sea part and they walked on dry land. Moses saw incredible miracles. And I look at Moses and I say, man, I wish that I could experience some miracles like Moses. But Moses would look down and say, "Hey, you know what? I wish I could experience the Holy Spirit like you." I want to show you this from Moses' life. This is going hundreds of years before Jesus. This is the Old Testament. Moses is a main character of the Bible. In fact, we have more movies based off Moses than any other character in the Bible besides Jesus. He is a major player in the Bible. The first service laughed at that. The second service, not so much. Maybe you're still processing God math. Maybe you're completely confused. Look at what happens in the life of Moses. It says, so Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him, and he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. However, two men, whose names were Eldad and Medad, had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Joshua, son of Nun, said, oh, snap. He'd also been Moses' aide since youth, and he spoke up and said, Moses, you got to stop them. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and the Lord would put his Spirit on them. Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. So let me catch you up to speed what just happened. Moses was an incredible man of God. He experienced miracles. He experienced things that I am envious of. I wish I could experience God in ways that he experienced him. And at one point, God speaks to him and he takes the elders, the leaders of the nation of Israel, under a tent. And as he's standing there, God is moving, and he throws the Spirit of God on them. I don't know what that looked like or what that felt like, but the elders under there started prophesying. Now, we don't know what they said. We don't know if they were speaking into the future. We don't know if they were just talking boldly. We don't know if they were mumbling. We don't know what was going on there, but they started prophesying, and it was evident that they were experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. But there were two guys who played hooky from the tent meeting. There was Eldad and Medad, and they were off at Walmart waiting in line to get the Xbox One. It was way more important than them to show up to the tent meeting. And so they're standing in line thinking that, oh, no one's going to notice. There's lots of elders. No one's going to know that we're not there today. And all of a sudden, while they're standing in line at Walmart, they start prophesying out loud. And the Spirit of God falls on them, even though they'd played hooky and weren't a part of the tent meeting. So some young punk sees this, and he's like, oh, snap, this is not right. They skipped church, and now they're still prophesying. And so he runs back and he tells Moses. And when he tells Moses, Moses' young aide, his Padawan, his guy that was coming after him to learn under him, Joshua, the guy that was going to take over leadership once Moses died, he says, Moses, this is wrong. We got to go stop those guys. And Moses, look at what Moses says. It's going to come up on the screens for you. He says, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. Translation, I wish that every human being could experience the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God exists. He's always been around. But for some reason, God has been holding back the presence and of the Holy Spirit of God. And Moses says, hey, Joshua, stop, buddy. I don't know what you're so worked up for. I wish everyone could experience what we just experienced. Translation, Moses is sitting up in heaven when Jesus comes back. And Jesus has this conversation with his disciples, and they're sitting there eating. Moses is just kind of tuning it out, doing his own thing, just kind of chilling up in heaven. And all of a sudden, he hears Jesus say, hey, the gift of the Holy Spirit's coming. And Moses is like, huh? Did he say what I thought he was going to say? This is something I wanted in my lifetime. I wished everyone could experience what you get to experience through the Holy Spirit. And Moses is really excited about this, and Jesus is really excited about this. He says, the gift that my Father has promised, it is coming. It is the Holy Spirit. And you would think that his disciples would be on the edge of their seat, just like I thought you would be on the edge of their seat. But you're not, and they weren't either. They were just sitting there chowing down and zoning out, and Jesus is saying the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they're like, okay, all right. I want to show you what happens next in the text. This is going back to Jesus' story. It says, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So this is what happens. Jesus just told them, hey guys, I want you to stay in Jerusalem because the gift that I told you about, the promise of the Holy Spirit, it is coming with power and it's about to come on you. It's something Moses longed for. It's something that people for hundreds of years have wanted to experience. It's something they didn't get to experience, but you're about to. My Holy Spirit is going to come and it's going to come with power. And did you catch how the disciples responded? All right, Jesus, are you going to bring back the kingdom now? Are you going to take reign? Are you going to rule like King David did? Are you going to be our king so that we can be your henchmen and we can take over Rome and rule this thing? And totally missed the point. They totally missed what Jesus was trying to do here. And when I read this, I love to read in a little feeling, a little thought that I have of how Jesus responded to this, because Jesus is so quick to dismiss them. They talk about the kingdom, and he's just like, enough about the kingdom. Let's get back to the Holy Spirit. And it kind of reminds me of one of my all-time favorite movies. One of my all-time favorite movies is the movie The Karate Kid. Anyone ever seen The Karate Kid? I'm talking about the original one, not with Will Smith's son, the one from 1985, the good one. Okay, The Karate Kid is about a young kid who moves to California. He gets beat up by bullies, and he meets a maintenance man who knows karate. The maintenance man's name is Mr. Miyagi. The kid's name is Daniel LaRusso. Mr. Miyagi calls him Daniel-san. They have great interactions. Daniel LaRusso goes to Mr. Miyagi and says, will you teach me how to fight? Teach me karate. And Mr. Miyagi agrees, and he starts teaching him karate by doing things like waxing his car and painting his fence. And there's a climactic scene in the movie, it is one of my favorites, where Daniel is just fed up with Mr. Miyagi. And Mr. Miyagi says, I've been teaching you karate. And he's like, you haven't been teaching me anything. And he yells at Mr. Miyagi. And Mr. Miyagi says, show me wax on, wax off. And Daniel's son goes, wax on, wax off. And Mr. Miyagi says, ah-ta-ta-ta-ta. I love Mr. Miyagi's response. Wax on, wax off. Ah-ta-ta-ta-ta. No, 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 you're missing the point. And I can just read, I can just feel Jesus saying, hey guys, I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is coming. It's going to change your life. It's something that Moses wished everyone could have. And they respond, okay, are you going to restore the kingdom now? And Jesus is like, ah-ta-ta-ta-ta. You're missing the point, guys. It's not for you to know when I'm going to come and reign as king. What you need to know is that the Holy Spirit of God is going to come. And when he comes, it's going to come with power. It is the power. It is the power of God to live the Christian life. If you think the Christian life is hard to live now, imagine living for God for hundreds of years when the Holy Spirit wasn't full out in power. We have, through the Holy Spirit, we have the power to overcome temptation. We have living inside of us something that is greater than he that is in the world, which is the devil. We have the power to overcome our worry and our anxiety. We have the power to change lives and to speak truth where there is death. We have the power to come alive, to have our souls come alive through the power of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus has said, it is coming, it is a part. You can experience it. Now, when we get the Holy Spirit is something that has been debated for years. And you have to stay tuned next week, same bat time, same bat channel, because we're going to talk about when does the Holy Spirit come upon us. It's something that has been debated. But what you need to know is that in your life, if you've said, I've signed up to be a Christian, I believe in God, but you are not experiencing the power of God, it is a sign that you haven't tapped into the power of the Holy Spirit. And far too many Christians that I know believe in God and go to church, but yet their life is powerless. It kind of reminds me of this drill. Now, this drill is somewhat humorous that I own this because I am not what you would call handy. I don't know how to fix things at all. In fact, I kind of prided myself on not having a drill. And the reason I prided myself on it is because when something broke at my house or something needed a drill, I could just tell my wife, well, we don't have a drill, so we have to call someone and pay them to fix it. But I said this one too many times to our church, and a guy in one of my small groups last summer said that he did not feel comfortable having a pastor that did not have a drill. And so he was extra manly. He had two drills, and he gave me a drill. And so now I own a drill at my house, and we've had it for a little over a year now, and I have actually attempted to use this thing twice in a year. The first time was to hang curtains. It went incredibly well. I was very proud of myself. The second time was to hang a second set of curtains, and I got a little cocky because I thought the first set went so well. I thought I could do the second set, and midway through the second set, I had to call reinforcements. I had to call my father-in-law to come and fix the mess that I had done with the curtains. I am not handy. I'm not good at using a drill, but now I have a drill. And I know that if I want this drill to work, then it has to be connected to a power source. Because this drill, just sitting here, I can push this button all day long, and it's not going to do what this drill was intended to do. And for many Christians, you believe in God, you're here today. Maybe you said a prayer when you were a kid, you believe that God exists, but yet when I look at your life, and when you look at your life, there's absolutely no power flowing through you. And walking with God and walking in tune with his Holy Spirit is like being connected to the power source. It is saying, hey, you know what? I'm not perfect. I still might have some issues, but because God's Spirit is living in me, it comes with power. It is the power. It is the power to make changes in your life. It is the power to overcome the things that have been plaguing you. It is the power to put a smile on your face when there's nothing to smile about. It is the power to pray when you don't feel like there's anything to pray about. It is the power to have your life change, and not just your life, but your friends and family's lives change. And if you're not experiencing a change of life, if your friends and family are not experiencing God through you, it is not because you don't believe in God. It's because you're not tapped into the power source. Jesus promised something is coming. Something is coming. It is a gift that Moses longed for, that the people of the Old Testament wanted. It is coming, and you get to experience it. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't fully understand what happens with the Holy Spirit. I don't have him mastered. He's a little bit different. I don't have a ton of information, but I love the fact that I don't understand everything about God because he's God. And he's bigger than my little puny human brain can comprehend. But what I do know is that it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we get to experience Christianity. And for so many of us, we come and we like God, we may like church, but we just don't feel his power coming through us. And it is not because we don't believe in God, it's because we haven't tapped in to the power of his Spirit. So here's the application for today. I just want to give you a prayer. It is something that I would encourage you to pray every day this week. It is in the YouVersion notes as well. If you're following along there, you can email it to yourself. If you're not, if you're boycotting YouVersion, write it down, text it in yourself, do something. But this is our application. There's no magic in this prayer. It is just simply a prayer for us to get on the same page as the Spirit of God. It says, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Fill me with your power to do the work you've called me to do. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Fill me with your power to do the work you've called me to do. If you're living this life and you don't know what your purpose is, it is a sign of a lack of the power of God. If you don't know why God has put you here, it is a sign of the lack of the power of God. If you're looking for direction, it is through the Spirit of the power of God. So maybe I would challenge you to take some time this week to simply pray this prayer and see what God does, because God's Spirit is now alive and allowed, not alive, he's always been alive. God's Spirit, now we have access to God's Spirit, all of us do, and we can receive his power. When we call upon him. I want to challenge you to do that, and I want to pray over us today. I want to pray over our church that we would not resist his Spirit. The Spirit of God is not something that will ever force himself on us. It is something that we have to receive, and I want to pray this over us. I want to pray that we would have soft hearts to hear what God wants to say to us throughout this series over the next couple weeks. So if you would close your eyes and bow your heads, I just want to pray over us. God, we just ask that you would give us sensitive hearts. We ask that you would, God, speak to our minds, that you would soften our minds and our hearts, and that we would have a desire to receive your Holy Spirit. God, forgive us that we are so easily satisfied. We're so easily satisfied with comfort and with wealth and with feelings and emotion, God, that we often don't even seek you and don't even have a desire. And God, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would break through the hardness of our hearts and that you would change lives. God, I ask that we would be a church that would experience your power. God, I ask that we would experience your Holy Spirit power, not just through talking about it, but that our lives would be changed. And God, I ask this week that you would be opening up minds and hearts and eyes, God, that you would bring the dead to life through your Holy Spirit. God, we don't understand everything about your Spirit, but we know that it comes with power. And so I ask that you would fill us today, fill us as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.